Yes, another edition of the Frotcast is here for your ears, wherever you are. You're walking around, you're in your car, you're in your cube. Who knows? This is your ear rapist, Ben. We've got a great episode. Blogger extraordinaire Vince is in the house.
Heyo.
Brendan has made his triumphant return. Yeah,
back up in the heezy baby, mother bitches.
He legitimately was excited to hear News Team Assemble.
That just got my dick hard. Yeah. I'm so excited about that.
Well, and it made it even more awkward because he's not wearing pants. His boner is just...
Never
wearing pants. So we've got a great show tonight.
Unless they're jeans, in which case I invite Vince to suck them.
Suck his jeans, Vince.
Fair. I will.
We're going to talk to Vince's ascot wearing friend, Brooke, who wrote a book about the Garden of Eden or where people think it is. So hopefully we'll have an interesting conversation with her. We have another edition of Bernsey's Corner, which will be fun. And Vince had a couple other topics that he wanted to discuss.
Yeah.
Vince and I both saw Rise of the Planet of the Motion Capture.
Yes, indeed.
Which was interesting. And then Vince he wanted to talk about 30 Seconds or Less, which he did see. Are you embargoed?
30 minutes or less.
30 minutes.
The embargo will be lifted by tomorrow. Whatever.
Lift that embargo.
Everybody's reviews are already up.
Tear down that embargo.
Tear down this embargo.
It's pretty obnoxious because, like, I'll be embargoed and then, like, oh, until the day of release, and then you'll see a million reviews up before then.
How mad does that make you as a blogger?
Well, it's just dumb on their part where I'm like, especially Rise of the Planet of the Apes, when I tell the publicist, I'm like, I actually liked it, so, you know, like, you care if I put this review up?
Oh.
Like, no, definitely not.
Well,
we can't do it.
You know,
like, all right.
You know, the problem is the publicist truly isn't making the decision.
Oh, I know that. Yeah.
So the studio, there's some studio where it's like, no reviews. Embargo is in place.
But it's weird because I don't know. It seemed like they thought that people weren't going to like the movie or something. Like they sort of...
Well, yeah, I read that. I read that they, with Rise of the Planet of the Motion Capture Apes, they were concerned, and so they didn't let critics review it until like 24 hours or 48 hours before the release,
which is
usually a sign that the movie... They're very concerned that the movie's going to get panned. Is that accurate? Yeah, Vince is nodding while he's opening a beer.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, like with something like Scott Pilgrim, they were just playing the shit out of it everywhere because they knew critics were going to like it. They're like, you know, showing it as much as possible.
We've got a critic boner on our hands.
And in general, like if you think the movie's good, you tend to show it as much as you can and try and let people see it and get the word out as early as possible. And then with Rise, they didn't. And then it's like, you know, it's like 80% or 70, I think it's over 80 on Rotten Tomatoes.
It was high.
I mean, I'm not saying it was like high art or anything, but I enjoyed it, and I told them straight up. I was like, I'm probably going to write a positive review of this.
Their concern is probably just the rogue reviewers that either say that and then write negative, or just from what I know of corporate life, they can't simply do like a one-off, oh, it's okay for you, but no one else, because it's... For them, it's a very slippery slope, and they can't really balance everything out.
To me, it's silly to them because they're under the impression that reviews matter one way or the other when they really don't. Like, just to have the name out, like all you're doing is getting the name out there, and people are gonna see the preview, and just the fact, like, just that they've heard of it is gonna be the deciding factor. Because I write reviews of stuff that I hate, and I'll get people in the comments being like, oh, this sounds like something I would love, and that's fine, you know?
True. I don't follow any specific reviewers or read specific reviews to know about movies, but if I go on, you know, I go on Yahoo to see Showtimes and stuff, and if I see a movie from the reviewers is D's and C's, over 10 or 12 reviews, or Rotten Tomatoes is a 20 or 30%, that's usually not favorable. Say I'm on the fence to want to see it, that is not going to make me want to see it. If there's a movie, like, I actually did want to see Rise of the Planet of the Apes, and so I probably would have seen it unless it got absolutely panned. I can understand a little bit of it, but it's, I don't know.
I feel like the summer blockbusters are the closest you can get to, like, that's the only time that I will sort of trust the consensus, because, I mean, when it comes to comedy, I feel like most critics do not understand comedy at all.
They just have
terrible tastes in it.
They take them way too serious.
Yeah.
I don't think my brand of humor is ever reviewed very well.
Mm-hmm.
Just a movie that's been on cable or HBO a bunch, Step Brothers, which the more I watch it, the more I love it.
Yeah.
And I'm sure that movie was like C's and C minuses across the board, or one and a half, two stars across the board. It's just not a movie that's going to be very well reviewed, and I understand that.
And there's comedy movies that aren't good, but you love anyway. I mean, like Anchorman is not a good movie all the way through,
but it's fucking
it's
funny.
It's quotable as shit, and it's funny, you know?
Yeah. Or like Mean Girls.
Mean Girls is a pretty good movie.
I think, actually, I'm wrong. I think my big thing with Mean Girls is it was totally marketed wrong. They tried to make a teeny bopper movie, and it was actually like a really fucking funny movie.
I thought Baby Mom was pretty funny, too, and yeah.
Baby Mom?
I like Tina Fey's writing in general.
So you saw 30 minutes or less, but your gripe...
Well, okay.
First of all, you didn't like the movie.
Well,
we can get
to that. That's beside the point. But the part where they're trying to act like... They're literally saying that the filmmakers and the actors had not heard of the Collar Bomber case, and that the official statement said... The writers were vaguely aware of the collar bomb case, and
bullshit.
Okay,
I'm actually not aware of it, to be honest, until tonight. Brendan seemed to know. He seemed to write the Wikipedia page.
I did.
Okay, so here's the damning detail. So in the real case, there was this guy Brian Wells, and the official, they think he was actually in on it, but he didn't know it was a real bomb, and they like put a collar bomb on him, and and then he was supposed to go rob a bank and come back. And he didn't get as much money as he thought he was going to get. And he was like running all over town looking for clues
hidden under rocks. There was a whole scavenger hunt. There was like a whole scavenger hunt. It was almost like Saw. On like how to like undo
you and Robert
let's play a game
yeah
yeah on like how he was gonna unlock the collar bomb but then the police detained him, which obviously threw a wrench in the works, and then it fucking like blew his head off. It was really nasty
in jail while he was in jail.
No they like cuffed him.
You can watch the video of his head getting blown off.
Yeah, they like cuffed him, and he was just like sitting in the middle of a parking lot, and everyone like ran away from
him. And he's like, help me.
It was kind of like that scene in Hurt Locker with the guys like rigged with the bomb, and then they just run away from him, sort of like that.
Yeah,
it's kind of depressing actually.
But to me, the I mean, okay, sorry. In the movie, you know, it's an innocent guy and he's got a bomb attached to his vest, and they tell him to rob a bank. Whereas in the movie, it was a collar bomb and they tell him to rob a bank. Like, okay, whatever. I can accept that maybe those are separate details. Like the damning detail is in the real case, the chick who masterminded it, Marjorie Deal Armstrong, she wanted him to rob a bank because she needed $125,000. To pay a hitman to kill her dad so she could inherit his money. And
that is an elaborate way to get a lot of money.
In the movie, it's the same thing. Like, Danny McBride is trying to get $100,000 to kill his dad to inherit his money, which, when you think about it, that is only a plan that you could come up with on a lot of meth, where you're like, all right, I'm going to get this guy to rob a bank to get me money, and then I'm going to give that money to someone else. And he's going to kill my dad, and then I'm going to get different money.
Oh, man. This is foolproof.
It doesn't make any sense.
What are you talking about? It's foolproof.
Like, someone made the case that, oh, maybe they're like trying to launder the money by paying a hitman with it. But then...
That money's clean now.
Yeah. But now you've given...
Don't mind all now the ink on it.
Now you've given traceable money to the guy who can implicate you in a murder plot and get out of whatever
cut a deal.
It doesn't make any sense.
They live on a hill, cut their brakes, you're good to go.
So the idea...
Money laundering is a bodega or a nail salon. That's money laundering. money laundering is not paying a fucking hitman.
Yeah, exactly. It's the Thai food place near my house that charges $5 for everything.
Yeah.
Cash only. So it's very.
Oh, I'm going there tomorrow for a party.
Oh, are you really?
Yeah, I'm really excited.
It's a great place.
Yeah.
It's the King of Thai Noodles in San Francisco on Grant Street. Everything's $5. Beers are like $3.
Super plug.
$2.
Yeah. $2. And they're open late. It's like a sports bar. They always have weird signs. I think they might give like hand jobs upstairs or something. We can't figure it out.
You didn't see the sign out front that says noodles and a hand job. $5.
So I don't know. So the thing about 30 minutes or less is just it's very insulting to me for the director and the producers to come out and act like they didn't base. I don't understand why they can't just man up and be like,
I think Brendan made the correct point. This is sort of a silly, goofy comedy. Brendan, if you want to see it, I agree is that it's a silly, goofy comedy. I think the way that it ended, if it was sort of, oh man, this guy got forced into a collar bomb situation. The fact that his head got blown off, the fact that it's kind of a gruesome end to the situation, I don't think would be a good tie-in to a silly, goofy comedy with Danny McBride.
Okay, yeah, but
I just think the better tactic is fucking deny everything. You know, like it. I don't know.
But how do you deny something that's blatantly obvious?
Well, reference any fucking politician in Washington.
Yeah, but I don't know. Then your credibility, you have no credibility. Like,
well, so I consider myself fairly well-versed in random events like this, and I honestly didn't know about it. So if I had seen the movie, I seriously would not have known that it was based. It's different than the big shootout in L.A.
Yeah.
If they had based some comedy on that.
That was fucking sweet. Well,
also,
it really was.
But also.
Fucking A. How
also,
crazy was
also
that?
Also, you're saying they shouldn't base a comedy on it. But I mean, look at Pulp.
I never said that.
But look at Pulp Fiction. I mean, Pulp Fiction, no, it's like a chick fucking ODs and then he has to like stab her in the heart with an adrenaline needle. And it's pretty fucking funny. Like,
well, that was hilarious. I never said they shouldn't base a comedy off it. All I said was if you're going to base a comedy off something that's a little more dark, you just pretend like you had no idea it happened.
Yeah. But why?
Just because it's a slippery slope to go down. Well, did you think that was funny? Why did you think that was funny? And then it's just like all of a sudden all the attention is about the real life event instead of your fucking movie.
Yeah, but I think okay. Well, in the interview with Ruben Fleischer, who was the director, this is what he says. They ask him, was there ever a moment where you felt something was either too dark or too inappropriate? He's like, no, because it's a comedy and it's not that dark. There's not much darkness. If you want to talk about what the movie is, I'd be more than happy to. But there's not really a connection to the movie in the case. The movie is a broad commercial comedy that's really funny, and that's the movie we made. It never veers on dark. And to me, having seen the movie, like that is the central problem with the movie. It's like you took this like dark, lurid idea, and they made this like comedy about schmucky riffing. It's just like... like you're watching Danny McBride and Nick Swardson aren't that bad because you know they're supposed to be like the crazy guys that strap a bomb to him, but then Jesse Eisenberg is the guy who has the bomb strapped to him, and him and Aziz Ansari are like fucking riffing and joking with each other the whole movie, and it's like, dude, you have a fucking time bomb strapped to yourself. I can't take this movie seriously at all. You can't take any of this situation seriously.
Was it not funny, or that you just had issues with the way that it was constructed?
Okay, so they took a dark event and they made a broad comedy on it. That's basically saying that it's not about anything, so therefore the jokes are just sort of about nothing. And so, like... you know, if you're two cops driving around in a car and there's no time constraints on you, like, yeah, you can wisecrack and do all that shit. But when you're playing a dude who has a bomb strapped to his chest, like, it's just hard to take it seriously when, you know, they're going to the store and they're making jokes about, like, buying a slider press and, like, busting each other's balls. And it, like, I don't know. It's just, it's not, the jokes weren't funny and it's a very poorly constructed movie. It's like if you're going to do that movie, you need to either respect how absurd the subject matter is and go that direction or make it believable somehow. And it doesn't really do either.
Well, embargo, suck our jeans.
Well, I think it ends tomorrow. But yeah, it was, yeah.
You think.
And it's obnoxious because I'm reading a bunch of good reviews of it now. And I'm like, I know. And I like Nick Swardson. I've been talking about Nick Swardson for like 5 years. Where I'm like, as soon as this guy stops doing Sandler movies, he's gonna be awesome.
He was great.
He's great
as Terry on Reno 911.
Oh my god, amazing!
So funny.
He's funny as hell.
Yeah, I really like Danny McBride too.
Well, I like both of his stand up specials too. I thought they were both really good.
Mm-hmm. They really were.
I liked his show also.
Yeah, his show was really good, and it was not. It was very underrated. I thought
there's one where he plays this guy. And he's like waiting for a table at brunch, and this guy is like with his wife, and he's like, "Where do I know you from?" And like, and Nick Swardson goes on this whole series of tangents, like, "Are you in that like underground sex club that I'm in?" Blah blah, and just goes on the, and he's like, "No, that's not where I know you from." And he's like all this crazy shit, and at the end, he's like, "Oh, I'm your son's in my PE class." It's awesome.
I like his stand-up specials as well. I really like Danny McBride. I really enjoy the fact that he's taken Kenny Powers into this whole marketable persona is kind of amazing.
Wait, it was the Nick Swartzen show also where he had the weird dreams where he was fucking his sister yeah. and his grandfather was like, "Fuck your sister.
Yeah, yeah. Don't be a pussy. Fuck. Get in there and fuck your sister. Come on, I'm your grandpa." Yeah.
Sucker jeans.
Yeah. Danny McBride is weird because I think he's awesome, but I feel like I said the same thing about Jack Black about 5 years ago. And I'm worried that he's going to get overexposed playing the same type of character.
But,
he's been able to pull it off so far.
At least his same type of character to me is much funnier than Jack Black.
Agreed.
I don't dislike Jack Black, and I feel like he's gone much more family sort of comedy, mm-hmm. a la Adam Sandler. You know, the Gulliver's Travels.
Well, they realized School of Rock came out, and they realized, oh, wow, this guy's like family comedy gold. We can just destroy his soul.
He's a fat Adam Sandler.
Yeah.
We'll pay him $20 million. Every movie makes $100. Mm-hmm. We're good to go.
He's fat Adam Sandler. Yes.
I'm still waiting for them to make the fatties fart too, though.
Oh, yeah. I would totally watch that movie.
That would be
that
amazing.
I thought that was the funniest part of Tropic Thunder.
You know what I mean?
Ben Stiller's actually sponsoring a, like, trailers... They're going to do a movie that's all trailers from Tropic Thunder, which is awesome.
It's an entire movie of that?
Yeah, or something like that. It's like
I would rather watch 20 minutes of like his what was his name? Ace Speedman?
Yeah, Scott Tug Speedman.
Tug Speedman.
Like it was Scorcher like 8.
That was the best part of Tropic Thunder. Like the actual plot parts were just like not that funny.
Well, it was a little.
Well, I thought it was pretty good overall, but the trailers were by far the best.
And then Robert Downey Jr. like totally stole the show. I felt conflicted on Tropic Thunder. I really did like it, but
I did not love it.
When they tried to really like, they're like, okay, we actually have to like move the film along and like move the plot along. It was kind of like, ugh.
But there's. Like certain scenes were, I mean, the idea of Simple Jack was awesome.
That was brilliant.
And I really liked Matthew McConaughey's character, like Pecker, who was like the you know, aggressive
super agent.
Bro, I'm going to get you a TiVo. Yeah. Fuck. You don't have a fucking TiVo yet? Yeah. God damn it. Seriously, I mean, just in my tangential run-ins with entertainment, I feel like it's all a bunch of people's assistants trying to be like the best assistant they can be. And so it's basically like a bunch of people caring about the most inconsequential shit because, you know, like no one really needs an assistant. So as an assistant, you're sort of...
Hey, speak for yourself.
You're justifying your existence. And so it's like... I'm pretty sure I've told this story before, but it was Nancy O'Dell. We were shooting some sort of workout video. And she was just supposed to do like a super short testimonial, and it was in a kitchen, and you know there's like a big key light on her, and it's kind of making like a really like a very high pitched electrical hum noise, and maybe two people out of 10 in the room like can still hear this noise, and one of them's her assistant. She's like, "There's like a high. We got to get rid of that." We got to get rid of that noise. Can you do something about this high-pitched noise?
Can we do something about...
Like, she made it seem like Nancy O'Dell was going to come down and, like, hear the noise and just, like, have, like, a big freak out and, like, bite a grip's head off or something and, like, rampage down the street.
Just grab a knife and start stabbing someone in the chest.
Like, she's going to, like, be like the robots in that Simpsons episode.
You guys know how I react with a high-pitched electrical noise.
Yeah.
You knew that. It's in my writer. Well, we do... We actually... did see Vince and I each saw Rise of the Planet of the CGI Monkeys,
indeed.
Which I did enjoy. It was about half of the movie that I would have liked. However, it was just a little bit slower than I would have liked. It kept sort of every 10 minutes would go along, and I'd be like, "All right," and then internally I never checked my phone or watch or anything, but I was like, "All right, we're probably about an hour in." This isn't going to get any crazier than
that. Where are the robots, bro?
Where are the robots? Well, I just wish they took it a lot further than they did.
Yeah.
I really did enjoy it. The motion capture was actually pretty cool. It didn't really... The gorillas looked pretty real. Like, there's never a point where it was like, fucking A, these monkeys are fake.
Yeah.
So I think they did a good job in that. But spoiler alert. The whole action sequence is basically in the trailer, which is the last 15, 20 minutes of the movie.
There was clever little touches that weren't in the trailer that sort of made the movie for me.
Like the Charlton Heston quotes?
No. I hate references. I fucking hate those. I hate the
damned
moment.
Damned dirty apes.
I was going to ask if someone said damn dirty apes.
Yes, he does. Yes, he does.
Of course.
Yeah. That is a fact.
I hate that. I hate all references to outside movies and movies. It's stupid. Because all the nerds can like look at each other.
Right.
Oh, fucking references, stupid. Well,
that was the complaint we had about what was that movie that we hated? The Simon Pegg movie about the alien.
Yeah, Paul.
Yeah, it was, the whole thing was just like this big wink.
Wink. Yeah.
Yeah, and it was just like, well, that's not really referencing anything in any sort of fun or interesting way. It's just like, hey, we're gonna throw in a line from a movie that's not really related to this, and all the nerds are going to rejoice.
Yeah. Yeah, there's a little of that.
I mean, I really did enjoy it. I just wish they took it essentially twice as far as they did. So I wish they, like, why, for example, I know this is delving into some details of the movie, but why do they need, like, two of the Alzheimer drugs? Why not just have one of them?
Yeah.
And make that the super, like, why do they need to redo it?
I like how they glossed over the part where the second one was going to be an airborne virus. And the, yeah.
All of a sudden, it's killing the world.
Yeah. I liked a lot of things about it. I mean, it was dumb, but it was very like fun dumb. But my biggest criticism is, like, it felt like every 10 minutes or so, it'd be like, oh, this is feeling too real. We need to throw in like a retarded cartoon villain. There was the evil, you know, Tom Felton is just. He plays like the evil monkey handler guy at the zoo, and it's like, why is this guy being so mean to the chimps for no reason? And then there's like
Brendan. He's so really mean. And then, oh my god, he hates monkeys.
Yeah, he calls him
this guy.
He calls Caesar, you dumb baboon, or you lazy. Get off your ass, you lazy baboon. It's like what?
Yeah, he sprays him with a hose.
He's like racist against apes. Yeah, yeah. He's like racist against chimps.
He's apist.
Yeah.
He's such an apist.
And then there's the guy that runs Franco's biotech firm. And
he's just about the bottom line, bro.
Yeah, okay, so first of all, his character has like five reversals within like a minute where it's like, oh, he went from thinking this is the worst idea ever to being like, oh, yes, let's do it within 5 seconds. But I like my favorite part is at the beginning when you know, Franco's gonna demonstrate the drug, and then the monkey flips out, and they kill it, and the guy's like, "Shut it down! It's gonna be shut." And Franco's like, "I'm pretty sure this could cure like Parkinson's and Alzheimer's." Like,
no,
I don't care. I'm the CEO of a biotech firm. The last thing I want to do is take a chance on a drug that could be really profitable.
Shut it down!
Kill all the apes.
So, yeah, I just wish why not have that?
It sounds a lot more like Planet of the Apes, the musical from that Simpsons episode than it does the original Planet of the
Dr.
Apes.
Dr. Zaius.
I hate every chimp I see, from chimpanzee to chimpanzee.
It's not very much like the original at all.
Okay.
In the sense that it's based essentially in modern time, and they come up with a drug that they test on chimps, and it sort of makes the chimps smart, but not like that. They don't talk.
Well, I think anatomically they're not equipped to have the ability to speak.
You missed our great discussion last week about Andy Serkis.
I did follow Film Drunk to see the whole thing about how they need a person to act like a chimp to see what real chimps act like.
Yeah, it's hilarious. Well, and then the featurette, there's like a bunch of guys in the leotard, the mocap leotards with like stilts on their hands to
simulate the long arms.
Yeah. Like, I understand the animators need a guy. Like, you know, Pixar will take video of a guy reading his lines and they'll, you know, they use it as a marker. But the idea that you're going to get a better idea of how a chimp moves by having a bunch of actors, like, jumping down the street.
I still enjoy the thought of the entire cast and crew applauding and crying. After Andy Serkis gives his non-speaking performance.
Whatever, fucking Andy Serkis.
Yeah, that's the thing. It's like playing a retarded person or playing an animal. Everybody acts like it's the ultimate thing you can do as an actor. It's like, no, anybody can act like a retarded person. Anybody.
Yeah. Hell, I see Vince do it every weekend.
Ayo!
Ayo!
No, I still think we need to make the sketch where it's just like movies through history where Andy Serkis is like playing the dinosaurs in Jurassic Park, and like, you know, Andy Serkis is the luck dragon in Neverending Story.
He's so brave.
yeah, just people praising his performance.
My brother actually recommended Short Circus, where he plays.
I did reference Short Circuit in one of my posts.
Really? Oh, well, so
I
he plays.
He just does the robot to teach humans
how robots act.
Short Circus. I like it.
Yeah, Short Circus. But anyway, I did enjoy
it. I am Johnny Five. Oh my God. Oh. The way he brought soul to this robot was incredible. I could not have done it without him.
I've never seen
it was like a soul bot.
But I would definitely recommend it. It was better than your average summer movie. My main pet peeve that I think of when I think about a ridiculous plot point. So eventually all of the monkeys escape from essentially their monkey jail, like their monkey sanctuary. And there could not. It seemed like there's probably maybe 50 monkeys in this monkey sanctuary. But when they escape and explode down the hillside, there's like 500 monkeys rampaging into San Francisco. It's like,
oh, and they're on the buildings throwing spears at people. That's pretty awesome.
When you mentioned Short Circuit, I just thought, what was the name? Was it Los Lobos? Was that the
Los
gang?
Locos.
Oh, Los
Locos. Los Locos kick your ass. Los Locos kick your face. Los Locos kick your balls into outer space. Oh, yeah.
That's
Everybody
what I was just thinking
that.
About. Yeah.
That's pretty awesome that you guys just duetted that.
out of
the blue.
Yeah, we just did it. That wasn't gay at all.
No, that was...
Vince and I totally locked eyes during it. gay at all.
You held wieners and you sang.
So we do during sex.
We frauded.
Yeah,
I want to see Armin White review Rise of Planet of the Apes because I think he could have a field day with all like the subtle racial allusions.
My God.
Like at one point, like they shoot the ape with the fire hose while he's in the cage. I was like, I don't know. I don't know about that one, buddy.
So yeah, they bring Caesar, who is the smarter ape, in, and he's wearing clothes. And they say, you know, should we take his clothes off? It's going to make him look different than the rest of the apes. And they just have a gorilla randomly just locked in his cage all day long.
Yeah.
Right. Oh, because they tried to make Caesar like he was like the house ape.
Well, yes, they brought
a little bit.
But right, see, man. He was.
There's a lot of layers. Sounds like.
Well, okay, so yeah, so they're throwing spears. There's like shoot him with a fire hose.
Hold on, this isn't a racial undertone, but so James Franco and his dad John Lithgow have this neighbor that just gets fucked with the whole movie. Like anytime something bad happens, it happens to the neighbor.
So does he complain about real estate prices dropping in his neighborhood?
He might as well.
He basically does.
He might as well. He gets his car
Sounds
fucked
like
with.
It's quite an allegory.
He gets
gentlemen.
His car fucked with. He gets his finger bitten off. And he gets...
Oh, I felt that they could have gone so much gnarlier with the finger biting scene. That would have been so great.
And he does get the airborne virus coughed all over him.
What I was going to say for stuff where it was just... there was just a little bit of flair added. One of my favorite things is when... the helicopter's like dangling off the bridge, and I feel, should I not ruin it for?
Let's spoil it.
All right, I'm spoiling this. Fast forward for like 2 seconds if you don't want to hear this. When the helicopter's hanging off the bridge, and the monkey looks the guy in the eyes, and he picks it up with his foot that has a thumb on it. Like, that was just such a great move. Because it's just like it's gonna happen, but they just put just that slight spin of.
Yeah, the whole action sequence
Monkiness.
Was cool.
Exactly.
The whole action sequence was cool. I just wish it happened 30 minutes earlier.
Because that's
in the movie.
The one thing they have over us.
Yeah.
It's opposable toes.
Yeah.
And strength.
Well.
And hair.
Teeth. They got teeth. Willingness to bite people. They can open their mouths wider, I imagine.
They can climb trees. Really well. All right. Should we get Vince? Who do you want to call first? Burnsy or Brooke? We got two B's. We'll save Burnsy Corns for the end. How about that?
All right, let's do it.
All right, so let's get Brooke on the horn. She's going to tell us where the Garden of Eden is. Vince, if it was up to you, where would it be?
In the Inland Empire.
Well, I honestly think that's where it is.
I just
the Garden of Eden,
or like Bakersfield, someplace that sucks that I don't want to deal with anymore.
Brandon, where would you put it?
My toilet.
In your toilet or in a toilet?
My toilet.
Your toilet is the Garden of Eden.
I can just take a dump there every day. Great place to take a dump.
The Garden of Eden.
Yep.
Pooping away.
Just pooping
into the Garden of Eden. All right. Let's bloop Brooke in.
All right. We have my friend Brooke Walensky-Lanford on the phone. She just published a book called Paradise Lust, and it's about different people and their idea of where the Garden of Eden is at. And I had a chance to read part of it, and I thought it was pretty interesting. So I thought we'd talk to her about it for a little bit. What are you doing? What are you doing, bro?
Hey.
Hi. Sorry, I should have probably given you an opening there of some kind.
As you can tell, Vince is a little better at writing than talking to humans. After being locked in a cave all day, he occasionally goes out to a coffee shop, but then he has to talk to normal people. He's like, so there's a person on the other line. Anyway, this is what they do. I'm going to tell you what they do.
So she wrote a book. It's pretty good. We brought her on to talk about it. What are you wearing?
Yeah. No, awesome. Thank you. I'm like totally psyched to be joining you guys. I wrote a book about a bunch of crazy people, and people are taking it very seriously, which is awesome. But it's really actually a comedy, comedy of errors.
I've heard we scooped NPR. Like, aren't you going on NPR tomorrow?
I'm literally going on NPR tomorrow.
Oh, suck on an NPR.
Suck our jeans, NPR.
Suck our jeans, NPR.
They're very nice people. Yes, I love NPR.
So they have such non-threatening voices.
Brooke, what is the conclusion? Where is the Garden of Eden? I kind of want to go there.
you're not going to like this. It's kind of a sad answer, but it's in a rock.
Inside a rock? That is a bump. You just officially bummed me out.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I'm sorry. It's kind of a downer, but that's where the Bible, you know, puts it, and you know, that's kind of the realistic choice, right? But there's a lot more fun that can be had with that verse of the Bible. Some people put it at the North Pole. We got Mongolia. We got Ohio. The Mormons are really fond of the Garden of Eden in Missouri. So you know, it just all depends on how you read the Bible.
But is it a real rock, or is it one of those, you know, metaphorical rocks where, like, you know, you go searching for it and you find out that the rock was in your heart all along?
Yeah, it's kind of like a pet rock, or one of those rocks with like a speaker in it that you find outside. It's like a surprise.
Yeah, I like those rocks.
Yeah?
The rocks that play music are sweet.
Or is it like the fake dog shit with the key inside?
I haven't seen that one in a while.
Yeah.
Yeah, it looks like shit, but yeah. No.
Slide it open, and there's your house key.
Yeah.
So you went to visit the spot of the Mormon one at one point, did you not?
I did indeed. I think it was like back in 2007. I went out to Independence, Missouri, which I don't know if you guys are like really familiar with Missouri.
That's where they started in the Oregon Trail.
I summer there.
Really? I'm sorry.
Yeah.
No, in the Oregon Trail, that was the starting point. You started really? Independence, Missouri, yeah.
Well, I believe you. I have no idea.
That's where I go to choir camp.
Yeah.
It sounds like an amazing place.
Yeah, it's the one of the meth producing capitals of the Midwest, and it was also Harry Truman's hometown. Claim to fame, little soda fountain where he worked as a kid. But it's really, really not a happening place.
Anymore.
Yeah, anymore. Exactly. It had its day back in like the 1830s. Joseph Smith was trying to get all his followers out from New York because they were being, you know, chased out basically at gunpoint, and they made it to Missouri, and that was the promised land for a while. But then it didn't last, and they got kicked out of Missouri, and they kept going. So it was like a little stop on the trail.
Wasn't Joseph Smith killed in Independence?
No, he was killed in Illinois, which is close.
Yes, close. He was defenestrated to death, wasn't he?
Yeah, actually. It's a really bad way to go.
Yeah,
I don't know what that means.
He was thrown out a window.
Oh, boosh.
Yeah.
So like a real version of what Vince told last week.
I wasn't here.
It was real.
I wasn't here either. What happened last week?
I was telling the story about the guy who was testing the window in Toronto, and he was testing the window for the people on a tour, and he I broke through it with a shoulder and fell like 30 stories or something. And they all were like, oh, that's just an urban legend. That didn't actually happen.
Well, because it was supposed to be like a shatterproof window, and so he's like testing it out.
Yeah. It makes Vince very angry when we disagree with him, and so that's...
Well, when I'm right.
True.
That's a bad job. Shatterproof window tester? That's like horrible, right?
Well, he took
like,
it. He was
can't they get machines to do that?
He volunteered, really. He did not have to do that.
He went, yeah, he went above and beyond his job description.
He was actually a lawyer.
He's like the guy in RoboCop who volunteers to like
get shot by Ed 209.
Yeah, volunteers to get like detained by Ed 209.
Yeah, little did he know he's going to have 40 bullets in him.
Who also goes through the window? No. The guy goes through the window at the end.
Yeah,
yeah.
Wait. So you, when you were in Independence, you took some sort of tour or
is there a
marking of the spot somehow?
You know, there kind of is, but there's like rival claims to the spot, right? There's like the big shiny mega Mormon church that gives you like the glossy tour, and then there's like the little podunk church across the way that says it's the real church. So you got to go to all of them. You kind of got to go door to door and be like, hey, what's the Garden of Eden about? So I went to the big shiny church, and they give you like there's like dioramas and there's music playing and there's fancy videos and like there's a giant angel Moroni that, you know, floats down at in the rotunda. It's totally crazy. So they really went all out for the Mormon Visitor Center.
I like that the Mormons have an Italian angel.
Hey, come look at the Papa's rocks.
Was that Mancini like that?
Yeah, I do. Yeah.
Yeah.
They're kind of like hush hush about the, like they're not super open about like thinking that the Garden of Eden's there. What was the story on that?
I think that you know since they're now really associated with Utah, like they finally made it to Utah. Missouri is kind of like an embarrassing like blot on the record because mm-hmm. they got booted out of there by the locals in mobs. So nobody really wants to talk about it. And you know, they all think that there's a second coming to come and we will all be brought back to earth by Jesus or some such thing. And that's also supposed to happen in Independence, Missouri. So they're just like, they're holding out, right? It's just like, they're waiting. Garden of Eden happened and now they're waiting for the second coming.
So does Independence have a pretty large Mormon population because of that?
It does. I mean, it has enough to support like a couple different Mormon churches, but, not as many as it did before they were all booted. Yeah. Sad story there.
And then there was a group that you had to cut out of the book because their idea of where the Garden of Eden was too crazy.
Yeah, too crazy among like Independence, Missouri and the North Pole and Outer Mongolia. These guys were just like beyond. They actually believe that the earth is hollow and you can get into the inner earth through the north and south poles. Inside that you will find, you know, like a perfectly formed world, like
are there
there's a monorail.
Are there Morlocks down there?
There's a monorail? That's
there's
awesome.
A monorail.
They think
there's
like little fairies in there too. Like this, like there's already like developed civilizations and shit. I've read about this.
There's a goddamn monorail inside our earth and
what
the fuck? How do I not know about this? Am I reading the wrong Bible or
they're just
what?
Thinking about Epcot Center.
Yeah, that's or like yeah, Disneyland.
Disney
yeah.
World in Orlando.
Man, yeah, fucking it's monorail, totally man.
It's a monorail to the Garden of Eden, of course.
Oh, right. So it's just a straight shot, like one-way monorail. That's awesome.
That's it.
Just all the apples you can eat.
That would be the best way to get to the Garden of Eden I could think of, besides maybe a jetpack.
So,
Problem is you have to go to the North Pole to get there, and that's kind of a pain.
Cost prohibitive.
Yeah.
Well, and you need a lot of gear. I mean, it's not you can't just take a pack a backpack and go catch the next flight out of SFO.
Now, the lead Hollow Earth guy is actually trying to raise the money for an expedition, isn't he?
He is indeed. He's been trying for about 10 years now. And
he can't get
poor guy
money.
Just does not give up. He has there's a website out there.
He has a Kickstarter page.
Yeah. They've been trying to charter a Russian nuclear icebreaker.
Wow.
To get to the North Pole.
Uh-huh.
And it
costs
a lot to do, so they've had trouble raising money. Every year, every time they relaunch this expedition, they have like a new way to raise the money. You know, at first you just have to like sign on and donate a whole bunch of cash, and then they started selling what they called preview CDs, you know, of what great things they were going to find.
Yeah.
And the profits of those CDs were going to fund the mission.
That's an interesting business model.
So,
I like it.
So when you get to the North Pole, you have commandeered a nuclear Russian tanker. You get up there. You've got your snow gear. You're ready to go. Then what?
You know, it has something to do with gyroscopes. I was never really clear on that.
Of course, yeah.
Yeah. There's there's going to be a point in the North Pole where you the ship would sort of tip down, you know, and then start going vertically downwards.
Of course. So if and when they ever raise enough money to get to the North Pole, they're going to be really disappointed.
Well, they actually have a contingency plan that they have other, you know, sites in the area to see in case they can't find the right spot.
Shocking.
For the gyroscopes.
Here's like, a big fucking iceberg, at least. Picture me and the missus.
Yeah, it's just going to be that metaphor again. They're going to be like, oh, see this Russian sub? Turns out we were on the monorail the whole time.
So that sounds really interesting. What was your reasoning for keeping that out? I would love to read more about weirdos like that.
Well, I'm working on it. I'm working on the sequel, which is, you know, get me on that icebreaker and I'll follow my journey. I don't know. That's the next episode.
And what was the original reason that you started researching this? Didn't you have like a family member?
I did. Yeah. My dad told me that my great uncle, who I'd never met, who was like this like super wasp who lived on the Upper East Side and was a scientist. He told me that he had been looking for the Garden of Eden. I was like, huh? Like that makes, I didn't even know he was like a church person at all. My family is like not religious. They're all science and doctors. And it turns out that it was true that he was sometime in the 1950s, like planning with his cousin who was a pilot to go fly to the Garden of Eden somewhere and like check it out.
What was his idea of where it was?
His idea had to do with the Middle East. Like he was into archaeology and ancient Egyptian art and stuff. And we don't know exactly where, cause he's like long dead, but his daughter thinks that it was somewhere in the Middle East.
Did you visit any of the other places besides Missouri where people thought the Garden of Eden was?
Oh yeah. I went to the exotic location of Ohio as well. Far afield here for the Garden of Eden, Ohio, Missouri. There's a state park in Ohio marking the site of this thing called the Serpent Mound, which is a giant earthwork in the shape of a large snake. It's like 1,300 feet long and built by prehistoric native peoples. And at the turn of the century, there was a Baptist preacher who wrote a book claiming that this was the mark of God on the land of Ohio as a reminder of the original sin and all that. So that's his claim to fame, and they still have, you know, little plaques about it at the state park.
That's like the Earth's tramp stamp.
It totally is. Mm-hmm. I really wish that I'd put that in the book.
I like that everything always ends up in America when it's talked about.
Weird.
Yeah. It's either Ohio or Missouri. We're sure of one. It's 50-50, but it's definitely not in another country. That much we know of.
Wait. But hey, guys, wouldn't that make Adam and Eve American Indian? They wouldn't be white.
No, they were white.
Wait.
Yeah, well, don't worry about
that. No, they're white. No, what are you talking about? They're fucking white.
Fucking would suck my jeans.
I wish it was that exciting that people were fighting about it, but it was mostly just like preachers saying, hey, Adam and Eve were here.
So
what's
the reasoning behind any of the locations? Is it just sort of they made up in their own mind that that's what they think based on some verses in the Bible? I mean, what was the... that you found, I'm sure, was different, but some reasons that people gave why it was in Ohio or the North Pole or anywhere.
You know, everybody's... Oh, I'm sorry. It sounded weird there. Can you guys still hear me?
You're here. Yeah.
Oops, sorry. I'm hearing myself twice. I don't know why that is. But so a lot of people just tried to be really reasonable about the Garden of Eden. They opened their Bible and they're like, okay. Yeah, so the Bible says that there are four rivers that come out of the Garden of Eden, and they're the Tigris, the Euphrates, the Pishon, and the Gihon. Now, two of those probably sound familiar, the Tigris and Euphrates, but Pishon and Gihon, like, nobody knows where they were, what they were. They're like, those words don't occur anywhere else, whatever. Yeah. So it's kind of like, yeah, could be anywhere.
Yeah. Sorry, that's one of our sound effects.
Is that because it's Africa?
Yeah.
Yeah, right. If it's Africa, then, like, we don't care, right?
Well, it can't be there. It's got to be in the United States. So let's figure out what rivers in the United States might equate to that.
I think the Gihon, by the Gihon, they meant the Colorado, probably. Yeah.
Maybe the Mississippi. Yeah. I don't know. Definitely
Could be
Africa.
One of the two. No.
There's a Chattahoochee River in Florida that is apparently one of the Garden of Eden rivers, according to some But Florida, we all knew, was the Garden of Eden. I mean, that makes a little more sense, I think, than Ohio or Missouri. At least it's, like, tropical. It's more fun.
Yeah. I was thinking Hawaii, personally.
I think that's a good bet.
If we're going to stick to the 50 states.
There was no one that thought it was in Hawaii?
Oh, I'm sure there was. I don't pretend to be, like the encyclopedia of Eden. There may be others out there. But I like Hawaii. I think an island is a great place for the Garden of Eden because it's, like, almost flooded, but, you know, survived the flood.
Yeah, and very lush and tropical. Lots of bananas and apples to just eat and have snakes come and dominate you.
So there was you sort of got called out by the guy who runs the Creation Museum this week because you got reviewed in what, like, the Wall Street Journal, New York Times, and a bunch of places this week.
Yeah, then, I did. It was crazy. The Wall Street Journal wrote, like, a really nice review of the book. It was, like, beautiful and perfect, and they, like, summarized the whole thing, like, better than I could do. And they mentioned that I go to the Creation Museum in the book, sort of late in the story.
And that's where?
They're, like, the one people, that doesn't make any sense, but that was the one place that did not have an idea of the Garden of Eden. You know, they like, refused to pin it down to a location on the map because they say that the whole earth was destroyed by Noah's flood.
Yeah.
Yeah. So literally, taking it literally.
Noah's monorail, maybe.
Noah's, like, earth-shattering, you know, cataclysm. I don't know how they make it all work together. But so the Wall Street Journal mentioned that the Creation Museum doesn't have a Garden of Eden. They just kind of mentioned that. They didn't say the Noah's flood thing, which, you know, they didn't have to explain everything in the book, or the review would have been, like, 300 pages long, right? So, but then the next day I got a Twitter alert for the Garden of Eden, Ken Ham. I was like, Ken Ham, how do I know? Oh my God. The head of the Creation Museum on his blog had quoted from the Wall Street Journal review and said, it's a shame this author didn't do her homework. If she had done her research, she would have known that the reason we don't have an idea for the Garden of Eden is because the earth was destroyed in Noah's flood. Any child knows this, you know. Here are, like, five other references that you can read about Noah's flood.
Actually, only children know that / think that.
There are several smart dogs I have talked to that know this.
Most adults don't know this because they stopped believing it when they were 7.
Yeah. Yeah. So, you know, there are a lot of things you could totally call me out for, but, like, not doing my research, man, it's on. It's on. I did so much research. I had to go to this place. I had to read about this place. It was a disturbing adventure.
Yeah, I actually want to ask you about that because I have this sort of, like, sick sort of dream of actually going. It's in Kansas, right?
No, it's in Kentucky.
Oh, Kentucky. Is there multiple creation museums or is there just one to rule them all?
This is the latest and greatest.
Okay, because I believe there's one in Kansas as well, but I could be wrong. But it's
no,
always,
I believe it. Yeah,
it's always been kind of a dream of mine to go to a creation museum and just see, like, almost like one goes to an amusement park.
It's really like that. I mean, this is like they brag about it being state of the art. Like the person who designed their animatronic dinosaurs.
State of the art disinformation.
Yeah. Oh yeah. It's the newest, best. Shiny.
It's the newest, most unscientific information we could find. We could come up with.
It's like a cross between, you know, your average theme park and the Museum of Natural History. You know, it's got, like, dioramas and plaques and explanations for everything, but everything is animated.
This is the Velociraptor Jesus rode around on.
Yeah, how many different animals was Jesus riding at the Creation Museum?
Well, there was a great, you know, they have a Garden of Eden, right? Because they have to believe that it once existed. And so it's, like, fake plastic plant Garden of Eden. And Adam and Eve dioramas are everywhere. They have, like, a little scene of Adam naming the animals in the Garden of Eden, which is something he's supposed to have done, right? Uh-huh. So lined up, like, there's a little line of animals waiting to be named by Adam. And there is a dinosaur.
Your name is Toby.
You are Doug.
There's an ape, because, of course, we coexisted with apes. We didn't evolve from apes. And then, inexplicably, in the tropics, there is a penguin.
Why not?
Standing in line, I swear to God, it was the weirdest thing.
Hello, incidentally, I'm a huge fan of, well, if we evolved from apes, how come there are still apes? I love that argument. But I wanted to ask you, like, how anatomically correct are Adam and Eve? Like, is Adam missing a rib? Do they have belly buttons? Like, how does that work?
you know, they kind of dodge that question because, of course, they're family friendly and it's all like school kids that they want to get in there and indoctrinate. So they're like realistic mannequins, Adam and Eve, but like Eve's boobs are covered by really long hair. Or, you know, Adam will be depicted like behind a tree.
Kind She's of, got like super long pubes.
Yeah. So, you know. Do with that what you will.
Pubes to her knees.
Yeah. He just has like a huge penis covering pube muff.
Yeah, pretty much. Like a, you know, a dinosaur standing
there. Adam's just got dreadlocked pubes that cover everything up.
Yeah.
Nothing to see here, kids. Long.
I always wonder what it's like to delve because, I mean, with certain things, I'm sure this is like a lot easier to delve into, but a lot of times people are like, oh man, have you seen Jesus Camp? And you know, they want me to watch that documentary. And I'm like, that just terrifies me. I don't want anything to do with that movie.
I tried to watch it and it was horrifying. I had to turn it off.
Yeah. Like I see the trailer. I'm like, this is fucking like worse than Holocaust footage.
Yeah. I watched it. It's especially for a Jew. It's very scary. Scary, scary stuff.
I hear you. It was terrifying. And I actually went to the Creation Museum by myself, which I don't recommend. I would bring a buddy, you know,
a trusted source,
get a group rate, you know, they charge through the, I think it was like $30 or something in Kentucky for one person
what?
To go. But if you bring like a tribe of all your homeschooled kids, you get in for like, you know, $1 a person.
Wow.
So
interesting.
The Phelps take your family friends, gets them free.
Yeah.
Fred Phelps and his clan.
How busy was it when you were there?
You know, it was kind of slow. It was a weekday and, there was a bus. There were a couple of buses coming in as I was coming out, but it was not packed. You know, it's like one of the, it's even sadder, right? Cause like, there's nothing sadder than like an empty amusement park. You know, it's like they tried so hard. They built these animatronic dinosaurs. I think they have a lot of money coming in, but I don't know who is like actually going to this place. I think it's mostly people, you know, on bus trips pointing and laughing. That's what I think.
what was the standout animatronic animal or section of the Creation Museum to you?
Oh, they had the scary snake in the tree. That was pretty terrifying.
The devil
for the original
snake.
Set. It was like the light suddenly got all like red and flashing, and that the snake's tongue comes out at you.
Wow.
And yeah,
are you on sort of like a ride?
It's kind of like Mr. Toad's Wild Ride.
kind of like you're on like a path that they kind of like herd you down.
Like,
are you
on like a people mover, like at the airport?
No, you're just on like a plastic mat.
You're just walking.
It's a monorail.
It's like Candyland.
it's a metaphorical monorail.
Yeah, I wish, but no, it's just like a little trail, and they sort of like squeeze you into this narrow pathway so that you have to like view the next thing that they want you to view. You can't like wander off path. So you go to the Garden of Eden, then you get the original sin, then you go to Noah's Ark.
They give you the original sin? that's kind of cool, actually.
Yeah,
hand out apples. Hand out apples,
but you can't eat. No, they hand you an apple at the beginning, and whoever took a bite by the end, they just throw you straight into the Creation jail.
It depends what time. It's like a fresh egg McMuffin.
They only give it to a woman, so they can blame them. Yeah, and thus give birth to patriarchal society.
They remove several ribs. You get chosen by a rib lottery. Congratulations! This will be removed before the end of your walking journey.
Well, Brooke, we got to get our other guest on. Do you have anything that that we did not cover that you wanted to add? Because
this has been eye-opening. I enjoyed this.
Have you learned a lot?
I really have. No, I always am fascinated by things like this. You know, just the same as similar to this is actually Noah's Ark. This is where it landed. There's no physical way that it could have fit thousands of species, but here's where it was.
You know, the Creation Museum people are now building a Noah's Ark that's quote-unquote life-size.
So, wow.
Right, did they take all the measurements from the Bible? They're like, oh, it's 14 cubits by...
oh, they're serious. They're serious. It's going to be a petting zoo. It's going to be amazing.
Sure.
Every species. Yeah, yeah, watch for it soon.
Oh, America, you disappoint me on so many levels. So, Brooke, the book's it's out. It's available on... Amazon and other fine retailers?
Absolutely. It's out in hardcover and it's also out in ebook.
Awesome. Paradise Lust. Do you have an audiobook?
Not yet.
You should get one.
Got ideas?
You should let me read it.
Any suggestions to your former classmate Vince? He's really trying to get a book published, but he doesn't know how.
That is not entirely true.
I heard you were back doing stand-up.
I am, yeah.
That's awesome. I saw you on TV. What? You don't need my help. You got it made.
My show got canceled.
Your show got canceled.
What?
Yeah.
That's ridiculous.
No, through no fault of my own. I mean, obviously, I was really good, but you know.
Obviously.
Some other people, Jesse Thorne, were not holding up their end of. No, I don't know. We got canceled. Oh, well.
If you know how to get a book published and if you know how to get into Sundance, Vince would like suggestions for both.
All right. We'll be in touch.
I hope your book tour is as interesting as going to open mics around the city of San Francisco, because let me tell you, that is a comedy of errors. Oh, my God.
But
what's your book right there?
Yeah.
Is there a book tour?
This is it. Yeah, you're looking at it.
Oh, we're on it. We're on the book tour. It's like
you guys are on it.
We're on the monorail.
Those fucking sucks at NPR.
Who is interviewing you at NPR?
Tom Ashbrook. It's the On Point show. It's their Boston station, but it's syndicated.
Yeah.
Tomorrow morning. Call in. I'm going to take calls. It's going to be crazy.
I'll pretend I know who that is, even though they all sound the same. Like, I can't tell the difference between Ira Glass and whatever the other guy's name is. They all imitate Ira Glass, it feels like.
It's true.
Yeah. Anywho.
Well, Brooke, thanks for staying up late. This was definitely enlightening.
Thanks.
I don't know. Should I go to Ohio first, the North Pole, or Missouri? I'm torn.
I like Ohio for the sake.
I'm booking a flight.
I think, Ben, when you touch the doorknob at the Creation Museum, it'll burn your skin.
I turn to dust.
Yeah.
Ah, my hand. My hand just bursts into a ball of dust.
Get that bus tour going.
Oh,
They're going to love you at the Creation Museum.
Oh, they would throw me in that back jail and never let me out. I turned into one of the animatronic beings there.
They have a secret CIA prison back there.
Here's our Jew cage.
I'd wait for Jesus to name me. Hello, Jew. Your name is Stephen.
With a PH.
Oh, man. I was right behind the penguin. He got a cool name. His name was LeBron.
Lev, your name is now Trig.
All right, Brooke. Well, thanks for coming on. Do you want to point anyone in your direction, Twitter, anywhere else?
Sure. I'm www.paradiselustbook.com, and my Twitter is modmyth. Follow me. I will lead you to great places.
To the Garden of Eden, in fact.
That's right.
All right, Brooke. Thank you so much.
Thanks. Have a good night.
Bye. Wow, that was enlightening. Did you guys like learning where the Garden of Eden is?
I hated it.
It was the worst. That's like the worst guest we've ever had on the broadcast.
Oh, that's going to haunt you when you can't get your Ascot diploma.
I want to take a monorail.
I'm just kidding. Actually, I really like that. I'm in love with the whole idea of crazy people looking for shit in a book that's like 5,000 years old.
Yeah, it's one thing to look for some sort of treasure. Like, I'm looking for Blackbeard's treasure on the bottom of the ocean.
Yeah, that's cool.
Yeah, but that's sort of more real.
In a fun way.
That actually might exist somewhere. But taking
this is cool in a people really live like this kind of way.
Yeah. Hey, let's get a Russian tanker to the North Pole, and it will suddenly go vertical.
Oh, it's exactly like Pirates of the Caribbean 2.
Yeah.
It's going to go upside down when you meet there. And then
at World's End.
And that dude with the octopus beard.
That happened in Land of the Lost, like the original show where their jeep just like went over a waterfall.
Did they get to ride the monorail to the Garden of Eden?
There was no monorail. There was only slee stacks.
I like that there's a monorail. Like the Garden of Eden.
That's a selling point. Listen, I know the Garden of Eden doesn't sound all that great, but did I tell you there's amazing public transportation?
Monorail.
Hey, but
monorail.
But speaking of crappy Sid Marty Krofft things, did you know Eddie Murphy is going to be voicing Hong Kong Phooey?
No.
I did not know that.
I feel that I'm poorer for having heard that.
Yeah.
Yeah, you really are.
You just ruined my day. I was having a great
Brett
day.
Ratner is one of the producers.
Well, next week
number one super guy.
We should talk about the horrible abortion of a movie, the Brett Ratner, Ben Stiller, Eddie
Tower Heist.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
I killed four bums when I saw
that. Did you see the poster where it was just like point, you know, every poster is diagonal for some reason?
For some reason it makes your eyes look towards the movie.
Someone decided diagonals were better, and so now like they don't even try to have a reason for it to be diagonal, so it's just like the whole cast and they just flip the thing sideways for no reason. And Tower Heist is the worst one. They're standing on a building and they're They're fucking perfectly diagonal and it makes no sense whatsoever.
Hey, they got to heist the tower.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right. Well, let's get Burnsy on. He's got Burnsy's Corner. I don't even know what that's going to entail tonight. Last week...
I've got a pretty good feeling.
Well, Brennan's got a good feeling.
I
don't.
Yeah.
All right. Well, let's bloop Burnsy in.
I think we're going to be talking about six-year-olds.
All right. We got another exciting edition of Burnsy's Corner starring Burnsy.
Mayor Burnsy.
Yeah.
What?
What's up with
Burnsy?
Burnsy, how's Eden doing?
Tonight was the finale.
Oh, yeah?
Her last episode of Toddlers and Tiara ever.
Oh, wow. Before she goes on to a big and prosperous recording career with Cutie Patootie.
You know it.
Got me on the Facebook. What was
she? She won't even respond to my emails anymore, so I really don't care what she's doing.
Are you still at least Facebook friends?
She got too big. No, she put me on limited.
Little bitch thinks she's too good to sex now.
Yeah, she got way too big for me.
Oh, man. Isn't there something? There was some news story coming out of Orlando recently. What the hell was it? I was trying to.
Casey Anthony?
Casey Anthony?
No, it wasn't Casey Anthony.
She's the most hated person in America now.
You know, Burns' friend lost his virginity to Casey Anthony?
Yeah, that's amazing.
Yeah, when you get the end of that story.
I like how there's one random court case and all of a sudden she's the most hated person ever invented in America.
It's more because she's an Ohio State fan.
Yeah.
True. Right. She probably likes the Yankees and the Cowboys, too.
Archie transferred from USC to Ohio State.
Just to be more hated?
Yeah.
Burnsy, what's in your corner tonight?
Not baby.
Since this is the classier part of the show, I wanted to talk a little bit about the riots over in London and get some serious input on that from Hulk Hogan.
All right. I think we got that.
Well, Hulk Hogan, to be fair, is the go-to voice when it comes to England politics.
Really just geopolitical turmoil.
Yeah, I mean, anytime I'm like, he's the authority. You know what? What's going on with these riots somewhere in the world? Get Hulk Hogan on the phone now.
Only if he dresses like his character from No Holds Barred.
Right.
Hogan, good afternoon. What's up, my brother? This is good to speak to you. I know we've kept you waiting, as I'm sure you're aware. There's a lot going on in the UK.
No, you didn't keep me waiting. I was really, really interested in hearing what you had to say because it sounds like Bacon Mania has a full plate, brother. You know, after I heard what's going on in the streets, man,
what does that
I just
mean?
Feel like maybe Hulkamania should run over there, start dropping legs, hitting people with big boots, and just stop the action.
But did you ask?
Let's rethink, brother. Rethink this whole thing and get these kids together. Change their thinking in a positive direction. Break the cycle, this craziness that's going on with the way they were raised and where they're at. Everybody's got a story, which is so what? But what now? That's what needs to be done. What now? Change the direction of the youth over there.
That was some good existential buffoonery.
Yeah. He interviews a little like you, Vince.
Yeah, where he just sort of rambles. He's being interviewed.
Well, yeah, whatever, bro. I like that he just goes on a random tear. At this point, Hulk Hogan, the wrestler, is no different than the human.
He can still cut a promo.
Oh, that's what he's doing. He's cutting a promo to...
He wants to go over there and kick somebody's ass.
And he will. He'll drop some boots. He'll drop some people's elbows on him.
This whole thing's very confusing to me because, I mean, all right, so the cops shot some dude.
Was it the cops?
And then that was pretty much it. And then everything just went to shit.
Well, I think there's a little more than that.
I got to respect the Brits for taking to the streets. I mean, not that it's a good thing, but, you know, in America, the dude gets shot on the BART across the bay.
Well,
and there's like a day of riots and it's like, I'll put a note up on my Facebook page. That's about as far as it goes.
The Brits, they know how to riot. They do some good rioting. I mean, like back in the day, like in the late
70s. The last riot.
Yeah, like... You know, like during all like the punk rock times, like there were some serious riots.
There's some good hooliganery.
Yeah.
I thought the British police do not carry firearms.
They do now. They didn't used to for a long, long time until like, I don't know, 10, 15 years
ago. And now they're just straight AKs.
Yeah.
AKs and Uzis.
They come strapped.
Where are you right now?
Brother, I'm at Universal Studios in Orlando, Florida.
And have these
riots in London and parts of the rest of the UK made the news in America?
Yes, sir, brother. It's headline news. It's the only thing people are talking about, and we're praying for you guys.
Okay, thank you very much. I mentioned on Twitter that you were coming on the show. Never have I received so many questions for one guest. And a lot of people said, this is Rob Curry 7 on Twitter, sent in a variation of this. Can you ask Hulk to go out in London tonight and crack a few skulls?
Well, brother, I was reading the Twitter pages, and as soon as you shot the first round, brother, everybody reacted. Everybody wants the kids to get back on track. You know, it doesn't really matter if Hulk Hogan's over there body slamming all the youth, you know, like I did Andre the Giant. But at the end of the day, you know, we need to grab these kids, you know, shake them and say, stop it. You know, yeah. Just regroup. Look at yourself in the mirror. Is this what you want?
Take your vitamins.
The mirror image of your life to be. Is this what you want your destiny to be? I mean, now it's time to change directions. Even, you know, if the state has to step in, you know, and really focus on getting these kids back on track, brother. But you know what?
Hulk Hogan should have told his kids to stop it. Then yeah. His son's best friend wouldn't be a fucking vegetable.
He should have shaken his kids when they were babies.
Yeah, exactly. Also, I love how the the interviewer sounds so like titillated to like be talking to Hulk Hogan. Like he knows he should be probably, he probably has a much more important responsibility as a member of the Fourth Estate to be like reporting hard news, but he's like, oh, but it's such a thrill to be interviewing Hulk Hogan. It's like Hugh Grant propositioning a black tranny prostitute. Like dangerous about it.
That was a full woman. Eddie Murphy was the tranny.
Oh, was that it?
Yeah,
oh,
Eddie Murphy. Okay. Eddie Murphy got the.
He just gave her a ride, bro.
Her Adam's apple was gigantic. Whatever, she needed a ride.
Yeah.
What her clothes? I don't know. She didn't have them before.
So what was Hugh Grant? Just a black prostitute?
Yeah.
Oh, sorry. Yeah.
Brown, baby.
Yeah. Divine Brown, baby. I like.
Know her?
I always love the references to wrestling from 30 years ago. Yeah. Like I did Hulk Hogan, brother.
I love any. I love
like I did Andre the Giant, brother.
I love any celebrity who's like, yeah, I would go out there and I would just hit that debt ceiling out of the park like I did the third pitch in, you know, like Kirk Gibson.
Yeah.
I just see it coming down the pipe. And
well, while Hulk Hogan body slamming Andre the Giant was a seminal moment for those of us on this broadcast in our early 30s. I think most people don't understand what the fuck Hulk Hogan is talking about.
Well, but just even the fact that he's bringing up this random wrestling match, I know it was a big event for...
That was like WrestleMania 2, wasn't it?
Yeah.
It was like in 1988.
The fact that he's even saying, I totally would, brother. Just like I would go body slam whatever I need to do, just like I did Andre the Giant.
Just like when I fake wrestled that guy.
Yeah, that big, huge
at the
guy.
First like, fake wrestling Olympics.
Just like when I did what the script told me to.
Yeah. Oh, Hulk. That's like John Cena. It's like, remember when I killed that bad guy in 12 rounds? That is exactly what I'm going to do.
I would do that. Remember, this is Jean-Claude Van Damme. Remember in Bloodsport or maybe in Kickboxer when I beat those guys up? Because that's
kids,
what I would do.
Someone just needs to teach these kids to do the splits for no reason.
I mean, I don't know. In Time Cop, I did it in that too. I'd do it now if I needed to. Whatever. Whatever needs to be done.
Man, Bloodsport's a sweet movie.
Remember how Van Damme would always come up with a reason to do the splits, if it had nothing to do with anything?
He's
like, oh, there's the lava's rising, and he's got to like put one foot on each side of the counters.
In Time Cop, he electrocuted the guy. There was water all over the ground.
Yeah, there's water all over the ground.
And he had to do the splits across the kitchen counter.
Yeah,
that's right.
He had a great mullet at that point.
Oh, phenomenal.
It was like a Mark McGuire. It was like almost like Jerry Curl in the back.
All right, Bernsy, what's next in your corner?
Bernsy, how many family members do you have with a Mark McGuire haircut?
All of them.
It's 100%?
Except my mom's isn't on her head.
She's got a pube bullet.
She's got business in the front, party in the back.
What? I don't know what that means.
I don't either. But
Bernsy's mom is party in the front, party in the back.
It's a party all over.
It's partying. Whatever. Just partying. Partying.
This conversation has taken a turn for the negative.
All right, Bernsy, what's next in your corner? Bring it on.
All right, up next, I've just decided to make this tradition because I don't feel like you guys are, you know, musically hip.
No, we do need you to hipify us.
So I'm going to be the resident MTV VJ of the group and bring you the latest hits.
You're the FJ. You're the Frot.
Thanks, Adam Curry.
Yeah, Frot Jockey.
No, I want to be Kennedy or John Cencio.
You can be Carson Daly.
Oh, that's boring. Okay, whatever.
So John Norris.
I brought you tonight. I don't remember his name, but
A. Samuels.
There you go. He's a 55-year-old gentleman in the twilight of his career. But who says you can't teach it an old dog new tricks? And I believe he's a casino owner in Las Vegas.
All right.
And he has decided to try his hand at a new career in hip hop.
I hope there's auto-tune. Is there auto-tune?
I don't think so.
I hope this is as good as when Didi Ramone tried to do hip-hop.
This guy didn't need auto-tune. This guy is legit, top to bottom.
And one day I meet this man, Michel Acarias, a French entrepreneurial fight promoter. And he says to me, "You know, Alan, I know a lot of people with money. They do not live the life. I live the life. And you must live the life."
That was weird.
Living the life. Hey, Samuels, Newark, New Jersey, bringing it home.
Yo, I'm living the life. Yo, I'm living the life. And if you ain't with a shorty, then you part of the hype. Yo, I'm living the life. Yo, I'm living
putting
the
on
life.
Cans.
And if you ain't with a shorty, then you part of the hype.
Players on the hardwood, golfers on the green, cats making big tape, I got bitches in between. Doctors on call, gangsters that fall, I got lawyers that draw up the papers for us all. I'm just living the life, yo, I'm living the life. And if you ain't with a shorty, then you part of the hype. Bringing home the paper to the family, to the wife, but I ask them this question, are they living the life? Yo, I ask them this question.
This guy's extremely white, in case you can't tell at home.
I don't know if I'd, you know, download it necessarily, but how old is he, 55, you said?
Something like that, yeah.
It could be worse for a 55-year-old.
I like how one of his boasts was that he had doctors on call, and in the video, there's a guy with a stethoscope on.
Why ask him this question? Are they living the life? Yo, I'm living the life. Yo, I'm living the life. And if you ain't with a shorty, then you part of the hype. Yo, I'm living the life. Yo, I'm living the life. And if you ain't with a shorty, then you part of the hype.
It ain't about black, yo. It ain't about white. It ain't even about folks creeping into the night. It ain't about the Asians, and it ain't about the Jews. It ain't about the Christian Muslims, yo, fools. It's all about the paper power, living the life. And if you ain't with a shorty, then you part of the hype. The caste system is what it is from the days of...
I will say this. I mean, if rappers can brag about their money and their gold, I mean, why not a rich white dude?
Who better, really?
Yeah, exactly.
I was going to say the song was okay, but if he could say living the life a little bit more, I would say it would take it up a notch.
Could he use more living the life?
Well, I should correct myself. Living da life. It's
actually living D-E life.
Oh, living da life.
It's not D-A life.
No.
Living a whole new paradigm of hip-hop.
Not according to YouTube.
He done changed the game.
Living da life.
Living da life was probably taken.
I did want to let you know that you are really an international mover and shaker. Do you know what song is number one in the UK?
It better be Swagger Jagger.
It better is.
It's up in your neck by the Smiths.
It's all because of me. I mean, that girl's going to go.
She's
going to
go places.
It's all because of me.
Cher Lloyd, number one in the UK. I would say over 50% because of you.
It has to be.
Yeah.
Last I knew, the Frotcast has a huge following in England. So.
We do, believe it or not.
We do.
Dozens of Tim Mikes over there.
I think they're actually rioting because you only record once a week.
Yeah, because I missed the last two. That's why.
We got a little Swagger Jagger.
I tweeted.
She's like a British Jersey Shore wannabe. It's a very strange phenomenon.
She's a chav.
Hold on, we gotta get to the chorus. Yeah. Yeah. Alright, so that was
get
good.
Get some of your own swag, Vince.
That is such an awesome song.
Get like, some of your own swag, alright?
Her and A. Samuel should hook up like Doug Hutchison.
A collab?
Oh,
who does
don't
that song?
Even jinx it.
Her name is Cher Lloyd.
Oh.
Yeah, you missed the when we decided on the Song of Summer. It was not that song, by the way.
Oh.
No. Yeah.
If you can imagine, there's actually a song that's better than that song.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I missed all this, so fill me in.
Well, that's why they're rioting.
Oh.
You should go drop.
I thought they were rioting because I was not on the last two Frotcasts.
Well, that's why, yeah, you missed picking on the song of the summer.
Oh.
Yeah, so everyone in London's pissed.
Fucking pissed.
I don't mind playing. I don't mind playing a little song of the summer.
Oh, Little Lady.
I think we need to hear a little song.
This I'd love to hear it.
This is the song of the summer. I did not. I actually picked Swagger Jagger.
I picked all of them because I can do that.
Sounds like an ad jingle. Every day, tanning on sunscreen. Summertime, summertime. Posing in my bikini. Summertime, summertime. Take a bite, take a swim. Summertime, summertime. Everybody jumps in. Moonlight, moonlight. Animals and insects. Moonlight, moonlight. Birds, planets. Moonlight, moonlight. Stay up, go to bed. Moonlight, moonlight. Kissing, hot sex. Moonlight, moonlight. Prowling. Moonlight, moonlight. Tropical showering.
So now the new thing is anytime two people say something that have no relation to each other, you just throw in summertime, summertime.
Yeah, I like that. I weep for our future.
We're living in the future, Brendan. Come on.
You wonder why people are rioting.
Yeah.
You got to remember, we're discovering these music groups.
Yeah, this is just discovery of new talent.
Their success is based on us.
Bernsey, I am disappointed that despite the fact that it's the song of the summer, it's only up to 13,000 views.
Well, we just got to start pushing it more. I'm gonna get a street team together.
Yeah, that's what I'm talking about.
And I'm thinking a face tattoo is gonna it's gonna get her going. I just gotta remember what her name is.
Lady Tigra, come on, man.
There you go.
You discovered her essentially.
I did, but I have her I have the tattoo on my butt right now, so I can't see it all the time.
Well, yeah. And it's backwards when it's in the mirror.
Yes, as it should be.
Bernsey, what else is in your corner? Do you have anything else in your corner?
I actually have breaking news right now.
Uh-oh.
This is coming off the wire
hot,
as we speak.
Is it hot?
It's hot. So hot because it involves Eden.
Uh-oh.
Uh-oh.
Which is kind of awesome because, Burns, you don't know this, but we actually talked about the Garden of Eden earlier.
Ooh. Oh, man.
All right.
Yeah.
All right.
That is.
Or later.
Oh, that is going to be like, that's going to be one night in Paris, like 5 years from now.
One night in Eden.
I don't think this Eden's garden has grown just quite yet, but give her some time. I know Vince will.
I could plant a seed.
But this, I mean, this is huge news.
How old is she? Like six?
Oh, you
she's
know.
She's six, but she's going on 30.
Yeah.
Older.
She knows what she's doing.
She looks like she's at least eight.
She's been smoking since she was four.
She's been doing math since she was five and a half.
I don't know how everyone on Toddlers and Tiaras is not arrested. Like, how do they even have that? That shouldn't even be show. It should be a sting operation.
Did you actually see that? In Auburn, they had a sting operation where they told...
to come pick up football tickets.
Yeah, they told them that they got free tickets to the Auburn-Alabama game. And it was so ridiculously over the top. Like, they had balloons and fake news reporters, and they said, congratulations, you got free tickets.
There's people, like, doing the dance, like, as if they were on Maury, and they found out the kid wasn't theirs.
Oh, my God.
Like, oh, shit.
They had a full-on congratulations on getting tickets. Step into this room. This guy says, well, congratulations, but I'm the sheriff, and you have not paid child support. And they arrest them, and they're so happy to then having handcuffs behind their back and going to jail. It was actually a little depressing. But anyway, that is a sting operation.
Wait, sorry, we totally derailed Bernsey's breaking news.
No, it's fine.
Whatever. Sorry, Bernsey, that's my fault.
Break it like a B-boy.
Now. Every other podcast has picked up on it already.
Break that news like Eden's hymen.
You know what I mean?
Eden has announced on the eve of the finale of Toddlers and Tiaras that she wants to start her movie career now.
Wow. Do you have any scripts that you have written specifically for her?
I just started working on one.
What's it called?
Do one where you have to protect her and you could call it Garden Eden. You're like her bodyguard. You're her bodyguard, and then
She falls in love with
we
it.
We have a hit on our hands.
So it's
Brendan, get to the patent office in the morning.
Yes, it's first bodyguard.
It's like guarding Tess, but you
right.
know.
But it's the bodyguard meets the professional because she's super young. So
yeah, but with a dash of the game plan, you know, with the rock because she's a free spirit. And
maybe a little bit of Man on Fire in there.
Yeah, and then the guy who is tasked to protect her is very gruff, you know, very
he's on his like the tail end of his bodyguarding career.
He's a bit OCD.
Hulk Hogan would be great.
No, but we need someone that's very meticulous.
Vin Diesel? Yeah, let's go with Vin Diesel. I mean, come on.
All right, that's fine.
Basically done this movie
and
before.
And can we please spell it with not guarding, but garden?
Yeah, it's garden.
Yeah, it has to be spelled that.
Garden. Yeah.
Oh my god. I am so excited for this, guys.
Well, because that's how you do the play on words. It's got to be Garden.
Garden Eden.
It could be this year's Dolphin Tale.
Yep.
Wow. Between Swagger
fucking
Jagger?
$1 million ideas just coming out of my brain all the time. Yeah. Do you guys ever just get down on your knees and thank the Lord that does not exist, that you know me and just have access to this gold mine that is the entrepreneurial side of my brain?
What
Jesus
year?
Christ, we're just going to be fucking wiping our ass. With hundreds.
Can we...
Just throwing them at Eden.
Yeah.
Can we get our ass with them and just stuffing them in her tiara?
Yeah.
What year do you think this is going to be? I think summer 2013 we could get Garden Eden...
Absolutely.
...into theaters.
I think we need to fast track it.
Well, next summer is going to be tough. Vince, get on the script.
I've got her working on another project about it. It's a coming of age tale called Eden Flow.
Is Eddie Vedder going to write the soundtrack?
Thank you. I need the fake laughter on that one. It's a period joke.
How about a comedy vehicle with Steve Carell called Eden Stevens?
No, it'd be Eden.
That was a stretch.
Maybe Eden Steven. So it's Eden, and then his name's Steven.
Yeah, Eden Steven. Yeah. And they're competing for someone's affection, so they're trying to outdo each other all the time. So it's Eden Stevens because they're trying to get each other back all the time.
Doesn't even make sense.
What if she discovers that she's a lesbian and she's a food critic, and you can call it Eden Out.
That was a very nice double entendre.
She wouldn't even have to be a food critic though. She could just be like a party, like club girl. And it maybe, you know what, Bernsey? Honestly, that's her reality show.
It could be like Eden a new out, catchphrase, like Eden Out.
Or, yeah, that's like her Anthony Bourdain style show. Uh-huh. Yeah. She's Eden Out.
Eden Out. That's her just exploring the town, the swampland, wherever she lives.
She just has like that hard boiled voiceover at the beginning.
This is this week on Eden Out.
Hey, this week I just came to the understanding of the people of Liberia, and then I got a hairspray in my mouth.
What if it was just her and Scott Stapp living in a house, and you call it Creedon? It's like a reality show. It's like her and Scott Stapp living in a house, and the first person to voluntarily leave wins or loses.
Wins or loses.
He is like the voice of a generation.
Well, there's like money involved, right? So the first person to voluntarily leave misses out on the money. I think that's a great idea. Hey, fuck you, soundboard guy.
I'm in on a lot of these. I'm in on most
Where's
of these.
Where's Wakas? He likes my jokes.
Yeah.
So, Bernsey, what else? Do you have anything else in your corner? This has been a great Bernsey's corner so far.
I didn't plan for much more, but, I mean, as always, we come up with so much just off the little things that we provide, and that's why you guys are the best in the business.
That's true. That is why we're the best in the business.
That is true. You are 100% correct on that.
Uh-huh. Yeah, I mean, we're not disagreeing with you.
That would be erroneous.
Yeah, you speak facts. Well, Bernsey, let's get these movies in play. Let's start working on them because I think we have a bunch of hits on our hand.
I'm going to start working on treatments immediately.
Yes, let's do that. I think. You know, seriously, let's get this fast-tracked. Vince knows people who know some other people. He can't get his book published, but he could probably get a movie made.
Why? You keep saying that.
Did you know that Eden has a book really published true. Already?
Yeah. Well, she's got, she finishes what she starts, so I got to respect that.
I'm excited for Garden Eden. I seriously am. Do you think we could bring Kevin Costner back? You think that's a possibility?
I don't know about that.
Come on.
No.
Let's not rule it out.
No.
Let's not rule it out.
Well, I'd say Michael Keaton, maybe.
What about Nicolas Cage?
No, definitely not.
Oh, God. All right, I'm not going to be in the casting because I'm going to get upset.
All right, well, Bernsey, you're probably pretty tired by now.
I'm exhausted, guys. I'm not going to lie.
Yeah, well, you can take it easy.
It's been a long day of writing dick jokes.
That RSS feed with Eden does never end.
No, it's, I mean, she's constantly doing stuff.
Yeah, she is. Yeah.
Well, Bernsey,
she's a spectacular human being.
Really is. Bernsey, thanks again for coming on and
bringing
strength to your corner.
I'm glad that I could be here again, and I'm glad that you would have me, and I'm gonna touch myself thinking about that.
Good times.
Excellent.
Yeah.
All right. Well, Bernsey, thanks for coming on and entertaining us with your corner. Godspeed.
Six-year-olds.
Brooke, thanks for coming on to talk about the Garden of Eden. And everyone, thanks for listening. Frotcast@gmail.com. Don't forget to check out your favorite blog, filmdrunk.com, which is where it's only, is it, Vince, is it the only place where you get movie news you can make fun of, or are there other sites that do?
No,
that?
It's the only place.
The only one.
It's the only one where it's spiced with, you know, rape fans and Steven Seagal stories. That's
unique.
Yeah.
You're not going to find that anywhere else.
No, not a lot of other people can just bring it the way I bring it, day in and day out.
You can't always bring Steven Seagal in a rape van to Comic-Con.
No.
That's rare.
You know why? Because he has that unique physiological reaction to stuff, and he just starts breaking windows and
snapping elbows.
And he's like, ah! Saka fulaisa!
Well, that was pretty good.
Yeah.
All right, Brendan, take us on out of here.
Yeah. Oh, it is so good to be back. I missed you guys.
I missed you too, Brendan.
Bereft without Frotcast.
Oh, man.
There was a hole in my heart where the Frotcast used to be.
And now it's filled.
And now it's filled.
With a boner.
Just with Frotcast.
Dude, next week, we're talking about growing sphincters on mice.
Oh, yes. I can't wait to talk about growing sphincters on mice. I'm really excited.
Like on their backs?
Yeah, I hope so.
Human sphincters on mice.
So there's just a butthole on his back?
Just a bunch of army of butthole mice, like Rise of Planet of the Apes.
Yes.
Rise of the butthole mice?
But it's butthole mice.
Yes.
That is a great
tease. That is how you tease the next broadcast. Yeah. That's a cliffhanger right now.
Well,
there.
But that's also how you come up with a name for a metal band.
Next week. Butthole mice.
Do you think you could have a poop transplant out of the,
oh
the
my
sphincters
God.
Of butthole mice? Or you're just, oh, what if the sphincter mouse, what if the sphincter
stop
mouse,
it,
mouse
stop
what
it.
If the sphincter mouse was just running around the house with a banana phone sticking out of the sphincter, just like carrying it as a receptacle for your banana phone? Think about that.
Brendan, what would you name your butthole mouse?
It's Herman.
Herman! Herman, get over here.
It's so good to be back, you guys.
All right. Well, since being back, come on. We've missed you for 2 weeks. We don't even know what to say at the end.
Yeah. All right. Well, frotcast@gmail.com. Keep the emails coming. We love them, guys. It's good to be back. I miss the Film Drunk Frotcast community, and we'll talk to you next week. Until then, good night and good chins.
And we didn't get any.